If you like playing in the field of possibilities and getting your information from those who really know, Conversation at the Cutting Edge is your kind of program. Host Sandy Sedgebeer speaks with teachers, speakers, scientists, and authors that are shifting perceptions about who we are and what we're capable of. Get ready to expand your awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Here's Sandy.
Hello, and welcome to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm your host, Sandy Sedgebeer, and this week we'll be continuing our exploration into developing deeper love and greater intimacy in your relationship. So if you're feeling less than ecstatic about the love you have or don't have in your life, stay tuned, because if there's anyone who knows how to help you get the love you really want, it's awakening coach, author, and keynote speaker, Arjuna Arda. A member of the Transformational Leadership Council, Arjuna Arda is the author of 8 books, including The Translucent Revolution, which was featured in O Magazine, and Better Than Sex, The Ecstatic Art of Awakening Coaching. Arjuna has trained hundreds of people to become facilitators of awakening, and he teaches singles and couples how to integrate awakening consciousness into their intimate relationship. Arjuna Arda, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be with you again. Thank you.
Arjuna, last month we spoke about the essence of masculine and feminine energy and the 3 possible relationships we can have to intimacy, as well as the principles of a deeper love practice. I'd like to start this week by looking at how we can learn to trust again when love has gone wrong. How do you help someone who's experienced the hurt and rejection of a failed relationship to open their heart and feel vulnerable again?
Well, I think it would be probably a mistake to suggest that there's a quick fix. I think there's a lot of things you need to do in combination with each other, and I do that a lot. I work with couples a lot in that way. I think, you know, the first step is to develop some muscles. I think that's a good way to express it, is to develop some muscles which are useful muscles to have strengthened in developing healthy relationships. So one of those muscles is listening, right? It's like an underutilized muscle. The way that we speak about it in the deeper love work, we talk about the ability to listen like the sky, right? To listen like the sky. So what does that mean? You know, if you go outside into the evening and you look up and you're really upset or mad, you could shout at the sky. You could say, "Why did you rain on my wedding day? I can't believe you rained on my wedding day. I hate you." The sky does not put its fingers in its ears and go, "La, la, 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 can't hear you, can't hear you." But equally, the sky does not get defensive and argue back. The sky doesn't shout back at you. The sky is just like the sky. The sky is there, present and open, but the sky doesn't modify itself because you're upset. Now, we need to develop the capacity to listen like the sky. And the reason that I expressed it like that, that I like to speak of it that way, is really the key to good listening is spaciousness. The key to good listening is to be like the sky, or if you like, to be oceanic, to be vast. And when we learn to listen like the sky, which means that you're listening really from a greater spaciousness, that is a muscle we need to strengthen before we can deal with other things. The second muscle we need to strengthen, the second key ingredient, is the art of radical honesty, the art of being completely honest. Now, generally, when people talk about honesty, what they're speaking about is being accurate about stories from the past, right? So, well, last week when I said I was going to the bar, I actually, went out for coffee with your sister. You know, that would be a story, something that happened in the past. And of course, we do need to be truthful about things that happened in the past, but that's nowhere near enough. You see, being truthful about what's happened in the past is nowhere near enough. We also need to learn how to be truthful about what is occurring in this moment. And so for that, we use a practice that we call here-nowing. Here-nowing, right? Here-nowing means it's a practice where one person is listening like the sky, and the other person is giving a commentary, a really accurate, faithful commentary on what is occurring in this moment now, right? A faithful commentary on what is happening in this moment now.
Give me an example.
Yes. I can feel a little bit of tension in my chest. I can feel that I need to take a breath. And as I look in your eyes, I notice that they are blue-gray. I can hear the sound of the traffic from just beyond the trees. I notice a little bit of itching in my left eye, and I can feel a sinking feeling now in my belly. As I look into your eyes, I feel a little bubble of pleasure, and I'm having a thought that I interpret that as love. As I look more deeply into your eyes, I also notice that your lips are quivering a little bit, and I'm having an impulse that I want to kiss you. So this would be the way that we practice here now. And you see, one partner is just giving a very, very simple, faithful commentary on what is occurring in this moment now. What can I hear? What can I see? What can I feel? What is happening just in this moment now? And the other partner is simply listening. You see, the other partner is simply just listening like the sky. Now, we encourage couples to practice this every day at the same time every day. So why do I say at the same time every day? Because it's preventative medicine. It's not curative medicine, you see. Curative medicine would be when you have a problem, you do something to fix the problem. This is preventative medicine. It's something you do at the same time every day because you've made a commitment to conscious relationship. You do it at the same time every day, not because you're having a problem, but because it's 9:15 and it's time to do here now. It takes exactly 10 minutes a day. 5 minutes to speak, 5 minutes. 5 minutes for A to speak, 5 minutes for B to speak. And when A is speaking, B is listening. When B is speaking, A is listening. We've discovered if couples can do this very, very simple practice of here nowing for just 10 minutes total a day, after 3 weeks, the level of drama in the relationship is significantly reduced because, first of all, they've both learned how to listen without reacting, and secondly, they've learned how to tell the truth about what's happening in this moment. They've learned to tell the truth about little things, and when you're able to describe what it's like to be inside your skin, it creates intimacy. And go ahead.
I was going to say, we're going over to the break now, Arjuna. You're listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge, and I'm talking to awakening coach, speaker, and author of the book, Better Than Sex, Arjuna Arda, about how to get the love you want. After the break, Arjuna is going to explain why taking a stand for love is critical to the health of any relationship. We'll be back in a few moments.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. If you're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgebeer.com and discover what 30-plus years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams filled with joy and abundance? Imagine surrounding yourself with the world's top spiritual teachers and visionaries that will teach you their secrets to living a successful, healthy, and joyful life. Join Iyanla Van Zandt, Caroline Mace, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and over 20 more life-changing best-selling authors at this year's Celebrate Your Life Chicago event. Visit CelebrateYourLife.org for more information. That's CelebrateYourLife.org. And reserve your seat now. That's CelebrateYourLife.org.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio, talk radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds, sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with awakening coach and author Arjuna Arda about getting the love you want. Arjuna, you were talking earlier about here, nowing, and I understand that you actually have a link to some articles about this on your website.
Well, I was saying I can create one. So this show is going live.
Let's make up
a URL right now. And if whoever is listening, if you'd like to write this down, we can have this live for you certainly by tomorrow morning. So if you go to, let's put it just on my website, arjunaarda.com, arjunaarda.com, and then we'll just go /Sandy, okay? arjunaarda.com/Sandy. If you'd like to go to that link in 12 hours, you'll find a place where you can put in your email address, and we'll send you the audio and the written instructions for here nowing.
Wonderful. Arjuna, you wrote a great article last week on a topic that I think we can all relate to called I See You, I Take a Stand, I Love You. And it was based upon a coaching session you gave recently to a powerful woman who'd got into a confusion in her marriage. I'd like you to tell us about this because I think it's something that many of us can definitely identify with.
Yeah. Well, this particular woman, she was an academic, a professor, and she had a husband who was always late, but in a way that actually felt disrespectful to her. He was kind of permanently late for everything they arranged together. And she somehow put up with that. She didn't like it. She suffered from it, but she put up with it and saw loving him. But she had a kind of a philosophical stance that loving him meant she had to accept him completely, which, of course, is to some degree true. If you were going to really love somebody, you accept them. So she thought that accepting him completely meant that she had to accept his being late. So that was just part of the package of being a good, loving woman, was that you don't judge somebody, you accept that somebody's late. So, but in fact, you see, she was suffering from this. She was
resenting it.
Say it again. She was what?
Resenting it, I would imagine.
Yeah, she was resentful. She was shutting down. But more important, she was not really demanding of him or calling forth from him what she really saw as his greatness, what she saw as his potential. She was accepting he was this sloppy man who couldn't manage a timetable. He was not only late, but he wouldn't text her when he was going to be late. So she was just kept hanging around. So what I did with her is I asked her to speak to a few of her friends. I said, look, why don't you just go and consult with as many of your friends as you can and ask other women how they would respond to their husband showing up late like that. So she did the research and she came back and found that a very few people would have, actually, she wasn't, let me just refresh my memory. She wasn't only condoning it, she thought that it was her fault, right? When she felt upset and resentful, she kind of participated with him in a theory that it was her fault for being resentful, that she was, I think the word they used was anal retentive. So I asked her to check in with some friends, And she found that there was actually a variety of responses people might have to that kind of behavior. A few people might say, oh, it's my fault for being anal retentive, but some people will be very upset. Some people will just leave the restaurant. You know, there would be a whole variety of responses that somebody could have. And that's incredibly helpful. If you find that your partner is doing something you don't like, and you have somehow, maybe you have the kind of personality where you have participated in a conversation that you are somehow to blame for being reactive to your partner, it's a good idea to check in with friends and see how many people would agree that you are somehow responsible or that it's you're being overreactive, you know? And then I asked her to think of some other ways to respond. And this is a great exercise that instead of responding as is habitual to you, in her case, it was habitual to blame herself for reacting, to what some other responses might be. What are some other potential responses she could have? So she thought this through and she realized that there were indeed other ways she could respond. So I asked her to feel what would be the response she could have that would be the best for everybody? What would be the way that she could respond to this situation that would have the highest outcome for everybody involved? And she realized in her own way that actually the most loving, caring way that she could respond to this would be to hold him to a higher level of accountability, that she could actually, by being less tolerant of him, she would actually be supporting him more. So that was the gist of the article, and I gave it the title, I See You. I see you means I see all of you. I'm not in a fog around you. I'm not projecting some delusion onto you. I see who you are. I see your triumphs and your defeats. I see your strengths as well as your weaknesses. And then the next piece was I see you, and then I see you. I take a stand. I take a stand means I take a stand not just for our marriage. I take a stand not just for some kind of arbitrary values. It means I take a stand for love. I take a stand for what I know is right. I take a stand for who I know you could be. I take a stand for creating the kind of relationship where love is more important than just harmonizing and accepting something that I don't really believe. And then the last thing is I love you, you see? I see you. I take a stand for what I know to be right, and I love you. I love you means I love you more than just condoning your behavior and acquiescing. You can think of this with a teenager, you know? If a teenager was experimenting with dangerous drugs, I'm not talking about smoking weed now, but if a teenager was, you know, was experimenting with heroin or something, it wouldn't be loving to just say, shrug your shoulders and say, okay, that's your freedom. That would not be the loving response of a parent. A loving parent would set boundaries. A loving parent would be concerned. A loving parent would actually try to interfere. So we can see that sometimes being loving doesn't necessarily mean accepting someone's behavior and giving them a carte blanche. Sometimes being loving means setting standards. Sometimes being loving means demanding the best of somebody more than they are in the habit of giving. You know, I just give you one last little example of this, if I may, that really this was the moment when I knew that I had hit the jackpot with my wife, that I knew that I'd won the jackpot in marrying my wife. But many years ago, this was back in 2003, I should think, I was writing my book, The Translucent Revolution, which, as you may know, is a very long book, like a 500-page book. And it took a lot of work to write that book. So I was working on this book, and we were very recently married, so we were in our kind of honeymoon phase. So we were having a nice morning in bed, and then I said, okay, I've got to go. I've got to go and work on my book. So I got up, and I got out of the bed, and I started to walk down the corridor, and the door to the linen closet where we kept the sheets and the towels, the door to the linen closet was slightly open. So I tried to push it shut, but it actually, the door was a little bit too low, and it was rubbing on the floor. So it was sort of the bottom of the floor, the door was scraping against the floor. And I thought to myself, that's no good. You know, it's going to scratch the floor. So I went to my garage and I got a couple of trestles and I put the door on the trestles and I got my skill saw and I drew a line so I could cut a quarter of an inch off the bottom of the door. But of course, this made a bit of a noise. And my wife came out 8 o'clock in the morning and she said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm cutting an horse a quarter of an inch off the bottom of this door so it doesn't scrape anymore. And she became like a dragon. She became ferocious. She was breathing fire. And she said, are you crazy? You've got a book to write. You've got a difference to make to people. You've got a contribution to make to the world. You can't get distracted with cutting a quarter of an inch off the bottom of the door. And I was terrified. I felt like I was facing, you know, Carly in her most irate form. And I quickly put my tools away and ran to my office and worked on the book. And that's when I realized I had a good wife, because she was not going to tolerate. She wasn't the kind of woman to say, oh, well, if that's what you want to do, honey, that's okay. You just do whatever you think's right. She was ferocious. If she could see that I was distracted, if she could see that I had forgotten my purpose for a little while, she would not let me get away with it. And that's an example. You see, I see you. It means I see you're a great writer. I also see you're highly distractible, right? I see you in all of you. I don't pretend that you're different than you are. I see you. I take a stand. It means I take a stand for you being the man that I married, not some watered-down, loosey-goosey version. I take a stand for what I, for the values that you showed me when we first got together, and I love you. I love you means I love you enough, but I will not allow you. I will not stand by and watch you cutting the bottom off the door. I love you enough that I will hold you accountable to your mission and your purpose. So that's what it's all about,
isn't it? Holding our partner accountable, but also holding ourselves accountable. Why do you think that people have so much difficulty with this area? That you know, they think that if they want to prove their love, they have to make concessions all the time.
Well, you know, Sandy, when we work with Awakening Coaching, I am aware of three kinds of conditioning. Right, so there are three forces that stand in the way of you giving the deepest gift you could give. The first of those forces is genetic. That means you inherit certain habits and personality traits from your parents and your grandparents, and these are automatic habits which are not necessarily the highest or the deepest or the most loving expression of you. So that's the first level of conditioning is genetic. The second level of conditioning is childhood, the way you were raised as a child. You know, if your parents told you to be quiet every time you raised your voice, then that tends to make you more passive and submissive. If your parents neglected you, that tends to make you feel that you're not lovable and so on. So that's childhood conditioning. The third level of conditioning is actually the most pernicious, because we don't really recognize it as conditioning. It's easy to recognize childhood as conditioning. It's easy to recognize genetics. The third level of conditioning is ideology. Ideology means the books we've read, you know, the things we've learned from well-meaning, usually from well-meaning contemporary teachers. And the more you've gone into the new age, spiritual, self-improvement world, the more all of us carry ideology. Now, you were asking, you know, why is it difficult? I would say many people who are interested in being conscious, many people who are interested in creating great relationship have developed an ideology that you should be loving and accepting, right? You should be loving and accepting. You should not judge people. You should accept people as they are and celebrate them as they are. And in a way, that's a good idea. But when it becomes an ideology, as with anything, when anything becomes an ideology, it can easily become less intelligent. And if we are practicing that kind of acceptance ideologically instead of intelligently, then we end up making decisions not purely in response to this moment. We end up making decisions that are based in a blanket ideology that ignores the actuality of the situation. So my wife definitely loves me and accepts me. It doesn't mean that she's going to let me waste my time getting distracted all the time. She's going to be fierce when she can see that I've forgotten my deeper sense of purpose. That's a deeper love, you see. That's a deeper love.
And that's the word, isn't it? I mean, fierce. We think that we've got to tiptoe around all the time. And sometimes love is very fierce. Arjuna, I so enjoy the conversations that we've been having. We have to leave it there. Thank you for being with us today. And I really look forward to having you back on July 7th, when we will be discussing money and spiritual work. Can the two work well together?
Great topic.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
Thank you, Arjuna. Bye-bye.
Better Than Sex, The Ecstatic Art of Awakening Coaching is available on Amazon.com, and the book contains links to a special reader's website where you can experience all the awakened coaching skills demonstrated on audio and video. That brings us to the end of this show. If you wish to learn more about me and the services I offer for teachers, speakers, authors, and conscious businesses looking to build their platforms and expand their profiles, you can visit my website at sedgebeer.com, where you can also sign up for my News from the Edge newsletter. The theme tune for this show is from an original song called Searching by Grammy Award-winning producer, composer, and musician Barry Goldstein. I'm Sandy Sedgebeer. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to having your company at the same time next week. Till then, don't forget, you can listen to more great shows live and in our archives here at vividlife.me.
Thank you for listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge, where scientists, researchers, authors, and teachers working at the leading edge meet. For conversations that aim to shift your perceptions about who you are, why you're here, and what you can achieve when you open your mind, expand your awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Join us next week, same time, with your host, Sandy Sedgebeer, for another conversation at the Cutting Edge.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams filled with joy and abundance? Imagine surrounding yourself with the world's top spiritual teachers and visionaries that will teach you their secrets to living a successful, healthy, and joyful life. Join Iyanla Van Zandt, Caroline Mace, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and over 20 more life-changing best-selling authors at this year's Celebrate Your Life Chicago event. Visit celebrateyourlife.org for more information. That's celebrateyourlife.org, and reserve your seat now. That's celebrateyourlife.org.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio, talk radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.